The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Washington Post and the New York Times. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. And on today's Armchair Traveler, we're going to start with the shutdown of Spirit Airlines. No doubt you've heard some of the stories already on television and read them in the newspaper. But we're going to give you kind of an overview first. This one written by Andrea Sack and Hannah Sampson and appeared in the May 2nd issue of the Washington Post. The headline reads, "How Do I Get My Money Back from Spirit Airlines? What to Know After the Shutdown?" So let's find out. After two recent bankruptcies, countless punchlines, and an untold number of cheap flights, Spirit Airlines ceased operations early Saturday morning, May 2nd. All of the budget carrier's flights are canceled. The closure has left travelers scrambling across the country, wondering, what happens to my flight in a few days? How do I get my money back? What about my points and flight credits? Spirit offered some answers on its website, and much of the news is bad for customers. Here's what travelers should know, and we've heard this one before. Is Spirit really shutting down? Yes, it's done. For real this time. Previously, the airline had announced plans to merge with other airlines, first Frontier, then JetBlue, but a judge blocked the JetBlue plans in 2024 after the Justice Department sued to stop it from happening. It is with great disappointment that on May 2, 2026, Spirit Airlines started an orderly wind-down of our operations effective immediately, Spirit said on its website. We are proud of the impact of our ultra-low-cost model on the industry over the last 34 years and had hoped to serve our guests for many years to come. When will the airline stop flying? Well, the final flights took off Friday night. That would have been May 1st. What should I do if I'm booked on an upcoming flight? Well, don't go to the airport expecting to fly on Spirit, the airline said in a question-and-answer section on its website. Spirit won't help you rebook on another airline, but multiple carriers have offered rescue fares or have capped prices for customers of the defunct airline. American Airlines said it was reviewing opportunities to add additional capacity, including utilizing larger aircraft and adding flights on critical routes to support as many affected passengers as possible. United also said it was considering additional flights to and from cities where Spirit flew to help stranded passengers. Am I eligible for a refund? Well, yes, depending on how you paid for your flight. Spirit said it would automatically process refunds for any canceled flights purchased through its site and with a credit card or debit card. The airline said that customers who booked flights with a travel agent should contact that third party directly to ask for a refund. Bought a ticket another way? The solution is less clear. Spirit said compensation for customers who use methods such as a voucher, flight credit, or loyalty points will be determined at a later date through the bankruptcy court process. I'm stranded. Will Spirit pay for my hotel and flight home? No. The airline said it would not be able to pay passengers back for incidental travel costs associated with canceled trips. Spirit said in a post on social media that customer service is no longer available. For those who bought travel insurance, Spirit suggests checking with the provider to see if those expenses are covered. Customers should also check their credit card policy. Some may cover expenses related to trip disruption. What are other airlines doing to help affected passengers? Well, multiple airlines have agreed to offer measures meant to help Spirit customers' employees, especially those who are currently traveling and stuck without a way to get home. United, Delta, JetBlue, and Southwest are capping ticket prices for a limited time for travelers whose Spirit flights were canceled. Passengers will need to provide information such as proof of payment and a Spirit confirmation number. JetBlue, for example, said it was offering $99 one-way fares to people with proof of a valid Spirit itinerary for the same route for travel through Wednesday, May 6th. Now, according to the Department of Transportation, American and Delta are offering lower fares on routes that Spirit flies frequently, while Allegiant will freeze prices on routes that overlap with Spirit. What happens to my points and miles in the loyalty program? Well, the points can no longer be redeemed, and they can't be transferred to another airline or loyalty program. Plans for the loyalty program will be determined at a later date through the bankruptcy process, the airline said. Seth Kugel, who writes the Tripped Up column for the New York Times travel section, also focused on this issue. His story, Are You Booked on Spirit? Here's What You Need to Know, appeared in the May 1st, 2026 issue of the New York Times. Now, some of this will overlap from the previous article, but there are some other interesting things, especially in the financial area, that may help you understand what's taking place. Spirit Airlines, which have been operating under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection since August, shut down early Saturday, May 2nd, after an attempted $500 million government bailout failed to materialize. What should you do if you have tickets booked on the low-cost carrier? First, make plans and look for rescue fares. You may eventually be able to get a refund for your ticket, but that remedy won't help if you're stuck in Kansas City or Cancun, both Spirit destinations, or if you're about to go on a long-awaited vacation. Other airlines have stepped up to limit prices and offer discounted rescue fares to Spirit passengers. Delta Airlines, JetBlue Airways, Southwest Airlines, and United Airlines have all capped ticket prices for Spirit passengers who need to rebook, the U.S. Department of Transportation said in a statement that was released on Saturday, May 2nd. In addition, the statement said American Airlines and Delta are offering reduced fares on high-volume Spirit routes. Allegiant Air said it would freeze fare prices on routes that overlap with Spirit, the Transportation Department statement said, and Frontier Airlines would offer 50% off base fares until May 10th. In addition, JetBlue is offering $99 rescue fares for passengers with proof of a valid Spirit itinerary for the same route for travel through Wednesday, the airline said in a statement that was issued on May 2nd, which was a Saturday. Avianca, which serves many destinations in the Caribbean and Latin America, said on Saturday that it would offer stranded Spirit passengers return flights to their original destinations at no charge, subject to availability and other terms for travel through May 16th. Passengers would still need to pay taxes and other fees. Normally, if a flight is canceled, federal rules require the airline to give its passengers refunds. But once an airline in bankruptcy shuts down, that rule becomes mostly meaningless because secured creditors, such as banks and other lenders, have priority over mere travelers like you and me. If you do have to cancel an upcoming trip, be sure to seek refunds as soon as possible for hotel reservations and rental cars, and check if your travel insurance covers such costs as well. Did you pay with a credit card? Lucky. Spirit will automatically process refunds for any flights purchased through Spirit with a credit or debit card to the original form of payment, the airline said in a statement. However, if you are booked through a travel agent, the statement said, you should contact the travel agent directly to get a refund. So what if that automatic refund fails to appear? Well, credit card issuers are required by U.S. law to return money to customers who did not receive the goods or services purchased, even when companies cease operating. Your first move would be to contact Spirit in writing to ask for your money back, keeping a record of your request in case your credit card issuer asks for proof you tried to get a refund. Then, get in touch with the card issuer, either online or by calling the number on your card to dispute the charge, a process also known as a chargeback. U.S. law gives you 60 days from the date of the statement on which a charge appears to begin a chargeback. Even so, all four major credit card networks, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover, have more generous timelines that require individual card issuers to accept chargeback requests up to 120 days from the date a service ended. In this case, that would be the date of departure of the last flight on your itinerary, even if it's in the future. That said, many customer service agents do not know this rule, and you may have to work hard to convince them. Note that if you paid with a non-U.S. version of one of these cards, these network rules most likely still apply, even if the U.S. law does not. Did you use a debit card? Drat. Now, that's the bad part. If you paid with a debit card, no such law applies, and the networks offer no added protection. But if that automatic refund Spirit mentioned doesn't arrive, it is worth asking for your money back anyway. If you bought a travel insurance policy, you may be in luck. About 75% of the industry's plans include coverage in the event of bankruptcy, said Jason Schreier, the chief executive of the travel division of Aegis General Insurance Agency. But he added, there are timing restrictions in the wording that prevent a claim from coming in if a company goes insolvent within weeks of the policy being purchased. Also, the opt-in travel insurance you may select by, say, checking a box when you purchase a trip and credit card benefits that include travel insurance are both less likely to cover a sudden airline bankruptcy than are policies you buy separately, Mr. Schreier said. If all else fails, you can always file as a creditor in the bankruptcy proceeding, but you will be very low on the priority list. So there you go, some information, I hope, in case you were involved with an upcoming flight with Spirit or caught up in some location that you need a little help there. Well, writer Ceylon Yiginsu has a story that's headlined, Stay Put or Travel Abroad. She says Americans are rethinking their summer travel plans. This article appearing in the April 28, 2026 issue of the New York Times. Georgette Lang had planned 3 international trips this year to celebrate her 60th birthday and her daughter's college graduation. But in the weeks since the United States attacked Iran on February 28th, she postponed all three, resulting in a loss of nearly $16,000. It didn't feel safe or appropriate to be gallivanting around the world as an American after the government started a war, said Miss Lang, age 59. She's an interior decorator from Philadelphia. She had planned to visit Italy, Switzerland, France, and Japan over the summer and fall. It's a gut-wrenching punch financially, but I didn't choose flexible booking options because I was sure we would go, she said. Instead, Miss Lang plans to stay close to her home over the summer and celebrate her birthday with family in Cape May, New Jersey. It feels like the pandemic all over again when you have to big urge to travel, but you know in your gut that the right thing to do is stay put, she said. Faced with economic uncertainty, rising airfares, and geopolitical instability that has prompted the State Department to issue a global travel warning, many Americans are rethinking their summer travel plans, either changing destinations or canceling their trips entirely. An April poll by the market research firm YouGov and the travel rewards website The Points Guy found that 24% of Americans had reconsidered travel because of recent global events. Among the respondents, 15% said they were avoiding some destinations because of safety concerns, while 20% said they were avoiding international travel altogether. Outbound travel from the United States fell 2.1% in March and continued to drop in April, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection data. Data from the aviation analytics firm Cirium shows a 10.5% decline in July bookings from the United States to Europe compared with last year. The data was compiled from third-party sources and online travel agencies between January 7th and April 21st, and it does not reflect the flights booked directly through the airlines. Travel companies and advisors say they're seeing more people change or postpone their travel plans rather than cancel them. Some clients are pivoting to domestic destinations or international destinations far from the conflict in the Middle East, like Spain and Portugal. We've had a private group shift from Kenya to Portugal because it simply felt more comfortable to them, said Peggy Goldman, the president of Friendly Planet Travel, a global tour operator that focuses on affordable travel experiences. The company has received calls from clients who are nervous about the trips that they have booked this year. But despite everything, there is still a strong desire to travel, Ms. Goldman said. The biggest impact has been on future bookings, with people hesitant to commit to long-haul and complex itineraries in advance. While the pace of bookings for Americans traveling abroad is down, that could change if they book their summer vacations at the last minute, said Tariq Khan, a senior economist at the research firm Tourism Economics. This could happen if a peace deal is made, which would cause uncertainty to fade and prices to fall, he said. With an increase in international airfares, which are up by more than 30% on average, and thousands of flight cancellations driven by higher jet fuel prices, some travelers are consolidating their Europe trips this summer and choosing train travel over flying, according to Sarah Johnson, the owner of the luxury travel company Paper, Ink, and Passports. When Lauren Bailey read about warnings that jet fuel might run out in Europe over the summer, she adjusted the timing of her planned trip to Greece and Italy from June to October. It was the second time she changed her travel plans this year after canceling a trip to Mexico in March because of cartel violence there. Ms. Bailey, who is 47 and lives in Seattle, said she felt whiplash from following President Trump's statements on the status of the war with Iran and pushed her Europe trip back. She hoped that a peace deal would be reached by then. "I want to enjoy this trip and not worry about getting stuck because my flights get canceled or being harassed because I'm an American," she said. Ms. Bailey currently has no plans to travel this summer. "I'll wait to see what happens with gas prices and might head south for a little road trip," she said. Despite the unpredictability of global events, many travelers are choosing to stick with their plans. Addison Olean, 77, a photographer and seasoned traveler from Sausalito, California, still plans to depart for his two-month trip to Italy on May 5th. He said he considered canceling the trip at least 50 times, but instead lowered his expectations and reorganized his itinerary to make it more manageable. "I'm aware that being American abroad during a conflict can make one more visible, and that Europeans can see us through the actions of our government," he said. "But I am prepared, and I believe the answer to an unstable world cannot always be retreat." So there you go. Some updates there on travel plans and what's happening. The outlook for summer travel is uncertain, as you've probably already ascertained. And we're going to learn from this article a little more. It's headlined, "Jet Fuel Shortages Could Make Travel a Total Mess This Summer." This article, written by Christine Chung, published in the April 25th, 2026 issue of the New York Times. This summer is shaping up to be an expensive and uncertain time to fly, especially if you're planning a European vacation. Volatile fuel prices because of the war in Iran are straining airlines around the globe, but perhaps nowhere as much as in Europe, where jet fuel supplies could run low by mid-May. European airlines like Lufthansa and KLM have announced they are cutting flights, and others could follow. Carriers everywhere are increasingly passing cost on to passengers wherever they can by raising airfares, charging more for bags, and tacking on additional charges for fuel. Some are canceling flights. For travelers, the prospect of a reasonably priced summer vacation is growing dimmer by the day. "There is a level of uncertainty here that we have not seen since COVID when it comes to travel," said Katie Nastro, a travel expert at Going.com, a membership service for finding cheap flights. And she adds, "This will be a challenging year for the average traveler hoping to take an affordable summer vacation." Cutting capacity. U.S. airfares, both domestic and international, have continued to climb since the war began at the end of February, according to an analysis of economy-bound round-trip tickets by the travel search engine Kayak. On April 13th, an average international trip cost $1,064, compared with $776 on February 23rd, and a domestic U.S. trip cost $358, compared with $335 on February 23rd. Global prices of jet fuel have soared by more than 70% since the start of the war, according to the Platts Jet Fuel Price Index. This situation has U.S. carriers expecting to spend billions extra on fuel this year, and at least one, Spirit Airlines, which we've already told you about, is already in bankruptcy and asked the government for a bailout that did not happen. Jet fuel is one of the largest operating costs for airlines. Rob Britton, an adjunct professor of crisis management at Georgetown University and a retired American Airlines executive, emphasized that even when the war ends, it will take months for fuel prices and airfares to stabilize. "It won't happen overnight," Dr. Britton said. "It's a total, total mess." While domestic airlines noted in earnings reports this month that consumer demand has remained steady, some said they were bracing for it to taper off. Some are scaling back routes through the end of the year and reconsidering planned growth for next year if jet fuel remains so costly. Andrew Nocella, United's chief commercial officer, said in an earnings call on Wednesday, April 22nd, that the airline had raised prices across the board five times since the start of the war. He also said United was proactively canceling lower demand flights like red eyes, as well as those of off-peak days like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, ultimately removing 5% of capacity through the rest of the year. Airlines have levers they can pull, such as consolidating several low-demand flights into fewer, fuller flights, said Mike Arnault, a spokesman for Cirium, an aviation analytics firm. Across the U.S., airlines' domestic capacity is down about 2% this summer, compared with what was before the war, Cirium data shows. For now, airlines are making small adjustments, largely tied to regional flights, Ms. Nastro said. This means that while international nonstop routes may not be as affected, multi-leg journeys to small cities or flights booked on separate carriers could be riskier for travelers, she added. Europe is a leading indicator. The outlook for American carriers is rosier than that of European and Asian airlines, which rely far more heavily on oil from the Middle East, aviation analysts said. The United States has significant oil reserves and refining structure. For European airlines, fuel supplies guaranteed to the middle of end of May, according to J.P. Morgan report published last week, and that published this week, I should say. And that I looked that up. That would be the week of April 19th for this article. However, it adds that fuel shortages and continued high prices will likely lead to consumer capacity cuts from June onwards, starting with domestic and marginal routes, that report said. Now, the bank's analyst flagged Britain as a higher risk relative to other European countries because of its reliance on Middle Eastern oil imports. Europe is going to be like this leading indicator. Any of the issues that are going to sort of hit the U.S. traveler, we're going to see those roll out in Europe first, said Christopher Anderson, a professor of service management at Cornell University. If this persists, air travel is going to get way more expensive and with way less flexibility to get there. So that gives you a pretty good idea of what's happening there. Now, we're going to turn from all this gloomy airline travel forecast to another story, this one headlined, "To Tight Curves and Wide Horizons, the Return of Highway 1. Yes, we're going to head to the California coast. And that's where Finn Olaf Jones wrote a story that appeared in the April 28, 2026 issue of the New York Times. "We got our Big Sur buddies back," said Brian Flatten during a Negroni beneath a, or stirring a Grenoni, I should say, beneath a mounted moose head at Legends Bar in Morro Bay, California. At midnight on a recent evening, the dimly lit bar where Mr. Flatten is a bartender beckoned drivers off Highway 1 long after the rest of the world had gone to bed on this lonely stretch. But there was something to celebrate. After 3 years, Highway 1 was open again. As of February 14th, drivers can once again travel the full length of the iconic road, which was included in the New York Times 52 Places to Go in 2026 list, after a series of landslides that began in 2023 severed the road 110 miles north of Morro Bay, California. Shauna Hawkins had just arrived at Legends Bar with her son and niece after driving south from San Francisco. "I wanted to feel the sand under my feet again," she said. "It's been too long." Outside Morro Rock rose like a giant skull some 600 feet from the Pacific Ocean, a sort of bookend to the other epic formations along the coast that had seemed out of reach unless drivers took long detours around the Santa Lucia Mountains. Highway 1, which lies between the restless Pacific and these steep mountains, is a lesser road than a narrative, a sequence of tightening curves, widening horizons, and vertiginous reveals that make up one of the world's greatest road trips, rhapsodized about by everyone from John Steinbeck to Jack Kerouac. As you drive north from Morro Bay, you may get the uneasy sense that the mountains and sea are only grudgingly allowing a road to pinch between them. A castle above the sea. On a recent morning, I found the lack of traffic surprising. The highway felt almost private, something longtime drivers here can hardly remember. Just 30 minutes north of Morro Bay, Hearst Castle rose from a mountain, an elaborate arrangement of towers and terraces, built by the media tycoon William Randolph Hearst over three decades, starting in 1919. The estate has always felt slightly detached from its surroundings, a European fantasia set above a Californian wilderness. Before Highway 1's closure, a visit usually required making a reservation days in advance. On a recent morning, walk-in tickets were readily available. I joined the upstairs suites tour for $35 and found myself alone with a guide. I had been there many times before, but this time, without the usual crowds, details emerged with unusual clarity. Hurst's red velvet monogram slippers waiting in his closet. A pair of paintings of Napoleon Bonaparte by Jean-Léon Gérôme hanging in a remote room, or anteroom, I should say, and then the newspaper hangers in the palatial office where editions from around the world were flown in daily so Hurst could guide his empire from his wilderness. Attendance is up only slightly, about 13% above what it was last year, but Diana Benowitz says, she was my guide, said she noticed the difference. Before it skewed heavily towards Southern California, she said, now I see a lot more diversity in viewpoints and dress. Sea Lions and Art Deco Bridge. North of Hearst Castle begins one of Highway 1's most distinctive soundtracks, the barking of elephant seals. They flop along the shores and an outcropping along the highway, providing a contralto to the constant roll of surf. One of the best places to see them is the Piedras Blancas Elephant Seal Rookery, where hundreds of seal elephants sprawl out on the sand like tourists on a package trip. The soundtrack replaces cell phone service, which vanishes for the next 150 miles as you head north. It hardly feels like a loss. Conversation seems beside the point in the face of such vastness. Big Sur is a place of splendor, a savage beauty beyond words, wrote Henry Miller, who lived here for nearly two decades. Farther up the highway, the Henry Miller Memorial Library echoes the lingering New Age energy that hums along this stretch of coast with poetry readings, tie-dyed patrons, and pathways shaded by low, branch-woven canopies. After the rookery, the lanes narrow, and the drop-off sharpen as the road approaches Big Sur. This is the Highway 1 of a million Instagram posts. On the curves, the recent reopening of the highway was most obvious. There was very little traffic. For the entire stretch to Carmel, I hardly tailgated anyone, despite decades of memories of endless car chains that clogged the road where passing lanes were non-existent. At a Hitchcockian pullout 200 feet above the ocean, a half-dozen students from Claremont McKenna College parked to gape at the Big Creek Bridge, an Art Deco marble opened in 1938. With delicately curved trestles against the rough landscape, the bridge seems to have barely escaped disaster. At its southern edge, a 3-football-field-wide streak of scraped, rainbow-colored debris rose against the cliffs all the way to the sea. The Regent Slide, which had held the road hostage for 3 years, was now largely cleaned out and tied down, Gulliver-like, by a thick skirt of mesh. Excavators and bulldozers were still at work below the slide area when I drove through, and for the first time on this trip, I was forced to wait behind other vehicles as the road narrowed to a single lane. Laser equipment was being affixed to the cliffs to measure any movement. Further north, Nepenthe, Greek for no sorrow, is perched high on a shelf above the surf. The restaurant, always a mandatory stop, once owned by Orson Welles and his wife, Rita Hayworth. What a trip that was down Highway 1, now open, following all those slides and storms in recent months. So another great travel destination back with us, and it's great to hear about that. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Armchair Traveler. I hope you've enjoyed listening, that you'll join us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. I remind you, the content of our program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.